Hey, everybody, it's Kai. Thanks for checking out the latest edition of the Corner Office Podcast. Today, it is Sally Krawchuk. She was, at one time, one of the highest-ranking women on Wall Street. She was at Citigroup when the financial crisis hit. She tried to convince her bosses to refund some of the money that their customers had lost because of the company's actions. That did not go so well. She was let go, shall we say. After that, she ran Merrill Lynch when Bank of America bought it. Her division did well. She was eventually pushed out in a restructuring. Now, Sally Krawchuk is the CEO of Elevest. It's a digital investment platform for women. She founded it, by the way, and she is also out with a new book. It's her first. It's called Own It, The Power of Women at Work. Here she is, Sally Krawchuk.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Sally Krawchuk, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to repeat you back to yourself here from the book about the middle of it or so. I was an investment banker in my 20s, a research analyst in my 30s, a manager of complex wealth management businesses in my 40s, and now I'm an entrepreneur in my 50s. That is
First of all, sorry.
I didn't even think about it. I do apologize, but that's quite a track record in serious heavy duty capitalism.
Yeah, I've loved every minute of it, and I believe that is the type of career path we're going to see more of going forward, that it will not be the I started at XYZ company at 22 and then I retired with the gold watch at 65. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be much more I did this, then I did this, then I did this, both because it's interesting and fun and our interests change over time, but really also because business is changing so swiftly that to have one type of a career for decades is not going to happen going forward.
And also to the point of this book, though, that you believe now firmly that women will have, as you had, increasing roles of responsibility, and it will not be a rare thing.
I think that's right. Today we know that gender diversity leads to not just better business results, but substantially better business results. That, however, has not been enough to get women ahead. In fact, for all the conversation and debate we've had around diversity, we've been pretty stalled out. What is changing is the characteristics we women to bring to business are going to be even more valuable. Our risk awareness, our relationship focus, our drive for meaning and purpose, our more holistic decision making, these are going to become more important. And also, if companies don't treat us well, we now have the information and power to take action.
This is the question in this interview where it will perhaps not be appropriate for everybody who's listening in the car or in the kitchen. It'll last about 45 seconds. So that's with that disclaimer. Here you know where I'm going with this, right? Here, you
what?
Know
no.
You wrote this book.
Oh, I do know.
You do know.
I do know.
So
I know exactly where you're going.
You, since I've already given away your age, you started on Wall Street 30-something years ago. And you say that at the beginning of your career, it was literally an everyday occurrence for you to come into your desk and find on it a photocopy of male genitalia. And I asked that question because it's shocking on its face, but also because the producer who was preparing this interview for me came into my office a couple of days ago, said, "Can you believe this?" And she's, you know, a woman in her mid-20s who has no concept of what it was like for you and your peers.
Boys club. I mean, and not a boys club as we think of today of, oh, someone said something that was gender insensitive or unaware, but actively trying to get the women out. And I tell you, it's really interesting when there's a Xerox copy of male genitalia on your desk. It takes you a minute to realize what it is. Is this piece of, oh my gosh, look at that. And then how do you react? And I had somebody say to me recently, well, did you go to HR? I was 22. I didn't even know what HR meant. By the way, I needed the job. My parents, solidly middle class, but I'd moved to New York, signed a year-long lease that they couldn't afford to pay for. I needed to work, honey. So I took it. I crumpled it up. I threw it away and said, these guys are not getting rid of me.
Are you heartened that a woman in a professional setting in her 20s is absolutely horrified by that?
Well, I think you have to be absolutely horrified by it.
But I was sort of horrified, too. Yeah, but it's so foreign to her experience.
Yes and no. You know, it's funny because this summer was a real wake-up call for me because I thought this stuff is not completely gone, but we really are talking about the degrees of gender expectations and biases. And then there was a New York Times op-ed this summer called Bro Talk on Wall Street, in which it was indicated that actually the company at which I used to work, that the kind of crude, crass discussions were occurring. And then, of course, we had the Trump-Billy Bush conversation that was taped for all to hear. And this stuff matters. It matters because we know the advancement of women in business has stalled out. If these conversations are happening, you and I both know that you can't objectify somebody with one group of people in one room and then walk into another room with those same people and promote that individual. You've just really put that person down. And so I was a little disheartened that it hadn't come as far as I'd hoped.
Do you, as long as we're talking about the president, what do you anticipate in the next 4 years from this administration in terms of women in professional environments and opportunity?
Well, oh dear. Well, let's talk about the next 4 years absent the president, which is that female entrepreneurialism is going to surge. It's going to surge. And the reason for that is that the cost of starting businesses is coming down across the board. It's not just lower cost of technology, though it's that. It is hiring freelance folks as opposed to full-time employees, WeWorks as opposed to long-term leases, video conferences as opposed to business travel. You name it, across the board, the cost of starting businesses is coming down. And women are starting businesses at 2 times the rate of men. The reason we're starting businesses, whereas for men, the number one reason they start a business is money. The number one reason women start businesses, they tell us, is to build the company at which they want to work. I did that with Elevest, my digital investment platform. The investing industry is not serving women well. We know this because women don't invest as much as men do. It costs them a fortune over the course of their lives. So I went and 5 years ago, couldn't have done it, 10 years couldn't have done it, built a digital investment platform to really serve their needs, which aren't being well served. I'm not going to avoid your question on the president. The answer is we don't know. And what I would love to see him do is to institute a mandated parental leave paid for by the government. This will, if he does it, pay for itself in the first year. If we can think about this as being an investment, not an expense, an investment, if women have a maternity leave, they are, and the longer it is, the more likely they're to come back to work. What happens then? They earn money. They spend money, they grow the economy, they invest in their 401k, they contribute to Social Security, they grow the economy. There's an upfront cost, but the research says it pays for itself in 1 year because companies don't have to replace them and pay that or train their replacements.
How confident are you that any of that happens?
Not at all. I if you know what he's going to do, you're doing better than I am.
Can't get Sally Krawcheck on the phone, a woman who was in the belly of the beast when the financial crisis happened, and ask you your sense of why it happened. You have some fully developed thoughts on that.
Oh, they're fully developed because I was there. And the conventional wisdom, both of the public at large and of Wall Street itself, I think doesn't capture the whole picture. The public at large, oh, evil geniuses perfectly foresaw what was going to happen, crooks, et cetera, drove the economy off a cliff. Yeah. Not what I saw. In fact, I will tell you that I saw people who believed that the subprime market was going to continue to grow. In fact, the research indicates that subprime bankers had worse personal real estate performance than the public at large. So they believed it. Now, on Wall Street, by the way, it's a very personalized thing. Oh, that CEO is a dope. That CEO is an idiot. That CEO is Darth Vader. And they personalize it. I think both miss an important point. And what I saw were individuals, many of whom are my friends, good people, typically people who shared some of the same characteristics. You know, Ivy League education, right. Same training program, same trading desk, kids go to the same schools, about the same age, same skin color, same gender. In fact, even sometimes you look at me and say, you know, you guys are starting to look alike. Same experiences, finished each other's sentences. What I saw was groupthink. What I saw were individuals who were alike, therefore had the same experiences, and so didn't have a fulsome picture of what was going on. They had the false comfort of agreement. And I saw again and again, oh, you remember that last? Oh, I remember the last. And I'm like, what last what? Huh?
Yeah.
It's groupthink. And the way you break groupthink is through diversity.
That's a great line, the false comfort of agreement. What do you make then, given all of that, what do you make of the change in regulatory attitude now that there's been a change of administration, right? The president has made it clear, both by his hires and by his executive actions, that he wants less regulation and a more favorable environment for Wall Street.
I'm shocked. I don't.
Are you? No, come on. Are you seriously?
I don't think that the individuals who voted for Trump believed that they were voting for the regulations for Wall Street to be rolled back. I do not believe that they voted for Trump in the expectation that the standard for investing for individuals, the move to a fiduciary standard, which is a higher standard than what is out there overall, it requires that investment firms act in your best interest rather than simply provide a product that is quote unquote suitable for you. I don't believe individuals elected the president and said, you know what? We don't want those firms to act in our best interest. Go ahead and roll it back. I don't believe that's what they wanted. I think they, in fact, I think he campaigned on a tougher stance to Wall Street, not a looser stance.
So what happens?
Well, history would indicate not much that's good. Now, the stocks of the banks have been going up, but the banks have demonstrated again and again that they do not self-regulate well. That they will return capital to shareholders. That means, in general, they won't have enough capital to support their businesses. And while that may make the results appear good in a good market, too little capital in a bad market is a recipe for disaster.
The book by Sally Krawcheck is called Own It, The Power of Women at Work. She is the CEO of the investment firm or investment company. What do you call it? Investment what?
Digital investment platform. I call it an innovative digital investment platform.
Elevest is what it's called. Sally, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's it for the Corner Office podcast today. The episode was produced by Bridget Bodner. Nancy Fargali is the senior producer at Marketplace. Sitar Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. Keep an eye on this channel. We're hoping to have a special bonus episode for you next week. And yes, Bridget always makes me say this. Please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps. Thanks. We'll see you next time.